You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Lots of lawyers don't want to represent Donald Trump because of what happened to me. I wrote a whole book on it, The Price of Principle. After I represented him in front of the Senate, not only did I lose friends, not only did I lose support, I was banned from libraries. My books were banned. I was banned from speaking in synagogues and community centers. An effort was made to cancel me.
Those are the words of Alan Dershowitz, Harvard Law Professor Emeritus, August 22nd, 2012. We're having a little problem getting our rumble.com live stream going for you, but hope to have it up shortly. Now, to get into the Rumble live stream, you simply go to rumble.com, enter in Larry Connors USA, and then push that, and you'll enter our page, and then you could push live and join us in studio. They're working on resolving an issue right now. So, there was a Harvard Law Professor Emeritus Alan Dershowitz talking about a lot of lawyers who might actually want to step forward and defend Trump on everything from the FBI raid to any of the other lies and collusions pushed at him. They're afraid to. Now, lawyers are one thing, and I've got a lot of good friends who are lawyers. In fact, I thought at one time of becoming one, so I'm not mocking you, I'm not attacking you. But what this does, what that statement by Dershowitz says, if they are afraid to step out of line and say, I am going to support Donald Trump in his legal battle, what does that mean for the average citizen who is caught saying, I voted for Trump, I will vote for Trump? What happens to their business, their relationships with others in their church, much less their family? Why do you think then some of the polls that have been coming out are maybe not showing as quite as strong as some were expecting for midterm? Because a lot of Trump voters, even though he's not on the ballot, would be put in the category of being a Trumper or a supporter or a conservative or a proud white boy, or whatever corner they want to put you in, and you just don't respond. They have yet to figure out how to get a good handle on a real read from so-called MAGA supporters. Aside from Trump, take that slogan away from him and just say, make America great again. Would you not like to do that? Go back to oil, energy, independence. Go back to the lower prices we had, the lower inflation. Our country was deemed not only important for the rest of the world, but vital and relied upon and could be trusted. Those are the kinds of things that would get you banned and banished from some. If someone like Alan Dershowitz said, I was targeted, not even allowed to speak in Jewish synagogues, that should tell you the power that comes. But yet also the power that comes with Trump and his endorsements. Out of some 200-plus candidates he's endorsed in the primary, 180 or so winning, and could have been more. Out of 10 members of Congress who voted for his impeachment, 8 of them running defeated. In the meantime, Judge Reinhardt rejecting the DOJ argument to keep the Trump search affidavit under seal. He's issued a new order for the government. Now, last week he did similar things, saying, I want you to go through it, redact what you need to, give it to me, then I might make more redactions. And now he's saying, I just don't see the justification for keeping it quiet. It's too important for the nation. He wants it open up. John Malcolm of the Heritage Foundation will join us with his thoughts. Latest polls not so good for Democrats. Tomorrow, 11 weeks from midterm voting. Labor Day really starts the push. Adam Schiff could become House leader if Pelosi is defeated and Democrats don't control it. And she's already said after this term she's going to step down anyway. Adam Schiff is House Speaker. Do you want that to happen? You better be voting come midterm. And Dr. Fake announces his expiration date. Ha ha! Plus another example of elitists telling you how to live their lives, but watch what you see what they do. A reminder, Larry Connors USA runs daily, 1 to 3 p.m., KXEN 1010 a.m., 100.7 FM. If you hear only this program, you're hearing only one program out of five every week. Lock and load, ready, on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors USA.
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with the Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof. Plus, quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Boom, 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 boom. Gotta shoot your eye down.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The first look at the latest Fox News Power Rankings right now. Republicans still poised to retake the House. The margin of victory, however, is narrowing, as we say.
You know, there were a lot of Biden comeback stories that were written over and over again in the media that doesn't seem to necessarily be working. Republicans are now expected to win the majority by at least two seats. That is six fewer than what was forecast in July.
So Democrats chipping away at that lead slightly, but even if they win all 28 toss-up races, it's still not enough to keep Republicans out of the majority in the House.
So is this a blip or something bigger? Well, Democrats are hoping for the latter, but Republicans are not buying that.
Republicans are going to win this election because we're laser focused on what the American people actually care about. Americans want security and safety. Democrats are not delivering that. Right.
Meanwhile, a new NBC poll, check this out, does not bode well for the party in power. Nearly three quarters of Americans say the country's going in the wrong direction. More than half say America's best days are behind it. That's depressing.
That is depressing that many believe America's best days are behind it. Why would that be? Look around. Look around. Did you go to the grocery this last weekend? How many bags were you able to get for $100 if you spent that? If you could spend that much. Okay, your gas prices are slipping down a little bit. It's all a facade. We are in a recession. They just don't want to declare it. In fact, they had to remodify the definition of a recession, which has forever been identified as two quarters of GDP growth dropping back to back. It doesn't say by what percent, just dropping back to back, which we did. We dropped two quarters back to back, and suddenly the Democrats, we need to redefine recession. They can redefine, rewrite history. They can do all of this stuff, but it doesn't change the facts of where you and your family are, where you're trying to go, and what's coming ahead. So the polls are indicating, at least that Fox report that they were talking about, the Fox Power Ratings is showing that the Republicans will end up winning the House, that they've got a good hold on it. Of course, there are those among the Democrats that don't believe the polls, and there are many Republicans that might not believe them as independents as well. And then there are those, as I said in the opening monologue, they don't really tell you what they think, or they purposely lie. Now, when every poll is put out, it has, if you read the fine print, margin of error plus 1% to 2%, 3% sometimes. They have to understand that they might have been lied to. Some people might change their mind, but that's where they stand as of that time, supposedly. But what you heard pointed out that if Americans are that depressed over what our nation is going through and where we stand right now, and I don't mean just domestically, in the eyes of the world, yeah, you have every right to be depressed. This Friday marks the date that we had 13 Americans killed in Kabul, Afghanistan, when attacks were carried out at the airport as they were trying to help evacuate Afghans who were trying to get out of the way of the Taliban. I'm going to be reporting on that more throughout the week and about some events coming up memorializing those fallen 13, not to be forgotten. I'll be talking about that later this week as well, and I'll be posting things on my personal Facebook, Larry Connors Facebook, and also the radio page, Larry Connors USA Facebook. So be watching for that. But that alone has left this country vulnerable. It has left us showing that we just don't have the spine to do things correctly. Now, Trump was going to take troops out also. I want to remind you of that. And I was in favor of getting our boots off the ground in Afghanistan. But Trump had talked to the Taliban, and the agreement was you have to meet this certain criteria, and we will move by this date, giving a specific date, which I'm really never in favor of, but he did. But they had to meet certain guidelines, and they were failing. And then when Trump did not get reelected, they thought, to hell with that deal. We don't have to deal with him anymore. We know we got a softie in Joe Biden. His only concern, main concern, would be what ice cream flavor is available. So they ramped up and escalated. Trump's red line washed away. Not because of his indecision, his inability, but because the anger at Trump was so vicious that allowed supposed moderate Joe Biden to get in office. And you see how moderate he's been, how he's been basically shackled to the far left and held hostage. Whatever they want, what's the ice cream? In other words, who is running the White House? Susan Rice, who's under Obama? Ron Klain, the chief of staff? Who's running the White House? All we really know for sure is that that poll signifies and clarifies and broadcasts loudly many Americans see this nation in decline. We're not. Let me stress that we are not. We can and do not, you don't need to put Trump's name with this. We can make America great again. It's not through the Build Back Better plan that Biden had, nor the Inflation Reduction Comedy Act relabeled from the BBB, because that one wasn't working. Those are not going to work. Governor John Sununu, Republican New Hampshire, said, You know, we had a lot of Democrats in these primaries that did cross party lines voting for a particular Republican. And they probably picked the Republican to win in the primary that had been endorsed by Trump. I mentioned earlier how many of his those who had gotten his recommendation, his endorsement did win. So that maybe some Democrats are going in and say, all right, let's go ahead and vote for that Trump guy. Because then that guy or woman cannot stand up in the general election. That is a good point. It's a good tactic. But Governor Sununu of New Hampshire says all of that is meaningless.
You have to have good candidates, quality candidates at the end of the day, whether you're running for the planning board, you're running for governor, U.S. Senate, or president. You got to get quality candidates that can cross the line. Winning in a primary is nothing, means nothing. You can't govern if you don't win in November. And that's all that matters.
That is all that matters. They can do what they want to play these Mickey Mouse games in the primary. And they do. Both sides do. It's not just one. They do it within their own party. They cannibalize each other. You've seen that in some of the Democrat primaries. They will have a candidate run against someone they really want to see win, but they'll have another one enter. It may be a local election. It may be a statewide election, but they'll enter someone else that really has no chance in running, but they're going to be enough to withdraw, pull some votes from a candidate they do not want to win, so then someone else wins. It's a crapshoot every time. Now, you might not think, oh, I don't gamble, I don't play poker, I don't do anything like that. Well, first of all, I don't consider poker gambling if you know how to play it correctly. When I say that, it's like Hold'em. The process of thinking is it takes only minutes to learn but years to master. So mastering it is far away. But that's not like putting your money down on one number on roulette and hoping it's going to hit that one number and pay you 35 plus to one. It's not like rolling the dice. Some odds are going to be better, some aren't. The so-called hard ways, a 3-3-4-6 or 4-4-4-8, that's even more gambling. So you don't think you'd do that, but you do every time that you vote or you don't vote. If you vote simply because of someone, hey, you need to support this person, you didn't do your research, you're gambling. You're gambling on your friend's recommendation. If you don't vote because you don't think, well, my vote won't matter, you're gambling that it won't matter and maybe it would have. We heard about the Fox News poll a moment ago. Peter Ducey had a report on an NBC poll.
Just 26% of people polled by NBC say the Inflation Reduction Act is going to make things better for them. 35% say it's going to make things worse. 36% say no difference. So Democrats may still be looking for a way to get their base energized, and the answer may come by the end of August with an announcement about forgiving some student loan debt, something progressives have long pressured President Biden to do.
I don't have a decision for you today, but what I will tell you that daily we're having conversations about this, and the American folks will hear it before the end of the month.
And the last speaker was Miguel Cardona, Education Secretary. That's what they're doing, sitting in the back rooms. How we get involved? How can we buy votes, basically? Give away student loans. Wipe them out, at least a certain amount. We might have to even raise that number. This is their philosophy. If we give, then we will get there. They're buying your votes if you go that direction. And I said previously, and I don't like saying, but I'm trying to look at the reality of the fact. If this is what they're going to do, those of you struggling and you're really working hard to pay off your student debt because it's your obligation, you know it's your obligation, you're going to do what you can because you signed on the dotted line. My question is, why the hell bother at this point until you see what this administration does? Why give them another dime? And then the other thing is, what about all those who have paid? How do they get any money back? Any chance of that? Ha! Fat chance. So Adam Schiff, well, before I get to Adam Schiff, if the GOP does win, You heard the concern earlier in the Fox poll. Americans are fearful about what's happening in the country. Congressman Gonzalez of Texas said, look, if you put the GOP in charge, we know we will take one of your fears and deal with it immediately.
We'll push for remain in Mexico. That's a policy that worked. We will push to keep Title 42 around until there is an alternative. That's another area that is working. And ultimately, repatriation flights. These are people that do not qualify for asylum that are returned back to their country of origin. You do these things coupled with some others like technology, add technology to the border, more boots on the ground. All of this is very, it can go away if you put the resources towards it. House Republicans are certainly committed to it, but we have to educate ourselves. That's why I've been hosting all these delegations at the border.
And he's done a great job. By the way, an LA Times report showed out of 60,000 illegals on a DACA detainer since May, 60,000, 150 have been deported. Now, if Schiff is still in the House, which he will be, and he ends up in a position because Nancy's going to step aside, there's an interesting scenario building. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll pick up with Congressman Adam Schiff answering a question. Would you be willing to step in and be House Speaker if your party holds, or would you be willing to be House Minority Leader if your party loses? We'll get his answer when we continue. And I can tell you that right now we are live streaming again at rumble.com. Rumble.com, search engine, Larry Connors, USA, and join us in studio. So stand by, and we'll come back, and you'll hear Congressman Adam Schiffless, as Sean Hannity calls him, on his future. Better hold on.
Well, since my baby left me, well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street, that heartbreak hotel where I'll be. I'll be just a lonely baby. Well, I'm so lonely.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The speaker has been truly the most impressive, incredible, and productive speaker in our history. So I hope that she'll stay. If she makes the decision not to stay, right now all I'm focused on is making sure that we are successful in this midterms and we have a majority to pick the next speaker. And frankly, I'm very encouraged by the fact that momentum seems to be moving in our direction and we have a greater and greater chance of holding on to the majority.
Well, that is Congressman Adam Schiff, Democrat, peddling more lies that the momentum is shifting in our direction. I don't think it is. But I'm not a pollster, and of course, polls taken today can change before we get to Election Day. But Pelosi's already said, even if we win back the majority, I'm stepping down as Speaker of the House. I think she sees the writing on the wall, because you think Pelosi wouldn't want to stay around as Speaker, be the Queen? Of course, even if she did it for a couple of months and then said, I'm turning it over to someone else. But she's already said that I'm going to be doing that. And so the question then for Schiff was, well, you want to be Speaker? Well, I you know, if we win, we'll deal with that. But I'm focused on midterm. Yeah, well, do you want to be House Minority Leader if you lose? I'm focused on midterm. But I see momentum shifting. Keep focusing. Keep focusing, Adam. So the news is official now as of today. We already knew he was going to be leaving. But now we have an official statement from Dr. Fake. Da-da-da-da-da. Here's Dr. Fake. And he announced he will step down in December. He said, I'll be leaving these positions in December of this year to pursue the next chapter of my career, which is make even more millions of dollars from Big Pharma. This does move up the timeline of his retirement, because back in July he said he would resign at the end of Biden's first term. Does he maybe know something's going to happen after the midterm that we have not been told yet? I'm just asking. But he said, I've been particularly proud to have served as chief medical analyst, advisor, I should say, to President Joe Biden since the very first day of his administration. That announcement coincides with Republicans vowing to investigate his work when they take over, should they take over, and I hope they do, in November. Senator Rand Paul has said, if we win in November, if I'm chairman of a committee, if I have subpoena power, we'll go after every one of Fauci's records. Not only what he said, but actually what he had concealed. And critics have been roasting the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease chief for false things all the time. At one point, he'd made a claim, I didn't recommend locking anything down. Really? During the interview, he said, you're asking me questions. You're talking about the CDC, the public agency that uses their power and science-based approach to make recommendations. I didn't recommend anything be locked down. He went so far as to call it unfortunate the U.S. did not shut down to the level China or Korea did. You know China is still locked down in some areas? And North Korea? Huh, good luck with that. Of course, this is not the entire first flip-flop. Remember in the beginning, he was said, you're not really going to need a mask. It won't be needed. Won't do any good. Then later admitted, well, I said that because we're short of masks and we've got to have first responders have them first. Either be truthful or say nothing. And then, of course, when it came to vaccine, he said, if someone refuses the vaccine, the general public, there's nothing you can do. You cannot force someone to take a vaccination. And then, of course, he turned right around and demanded that you get vaccinated and fired if you're not, or even dropped from the military. No religious objections allowed. This man leaving is a good reason to celebrate. But when you count the number of deaths that he might have contributed to by false and denying good possible medicine that could be used, it's not so laughable, is it? That's the problem with it. Coming up, so the judge in Florida is saying, yeah, I think we should open up everything on that affidavit to search Trump's house. That story coming up.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
For some companies, loyalty is a lost word. You give a company your business, your years, but in the end, you're just a number. But at Ackerman Toyota, loyalty is appreciated. Thousands of customers personally know this. New Ackerman customers quickly see it. Loyalty defines Ackerman Toyota for all customers and employees. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. Reminding you, we are live streaming at rumble.com. Go to rumble.com, enter in the search engine, Larry Connors USA. You'll find our previous postings, and you can join us live. You can also subscribe, and we'll send it to you for free, the podcast as well at Larry Connors USA. You never miss anything. And then share with others. I encourage you to share. My next guest we've had on before, an expert in constitutional law, John Malcolm with the Heritage Foundation. John, glad to have you on board again, sir.
Good to be back with you, Larry.
Well, here's one I want to get into, because to create some clear up, I should say, some confusion. Last week, Judge Reinhart down in Florida, as they were battling over the unsealing of anything, and he agreed to let the copy, the cover page, and the copy of the search warrant and the receipt of items taken be released. But when it came to the affidavit, which everything's based on, he was hesitant. Now, today, I need to get a clarification from you on what it means. Today, in a filing, he rejects the government's argument the present record justifies keeping the entire affidavit under seal, saying that intense public and historical interest outweighs their claims. How does that differ from what he filed today compared to last week, or is this just an addendum?
I would say it's an addendum. So what he has done, he hasn't said for sure that any portion of the affidavit is going to be released, although, of course, he saw the affidavit because he's the person who signed the search warrant. So he has acknowledged that there's a real public interest in releasing at least some information from this affidavit. He has given, you know, tipped his hand that he thinks that some of that affidavit could be released. But what he has done is he has given the Department of Justice until Thursday to say, okay, I want you, Department of Justice, to take a first whack at redacting this thing and giving your opinion as to what you think could safely be turned over to the public. He has rejected their argument that, you know, that there's nothing that could be released.
So that's the same as last. I'm sorry to interrupt, John. Then yeah. That's the same thing that he did last week. Only now he makes a filing today. What's the purpose?
Yeah, it was basically like a motion for reconsideration from the government. And he's written down saying, okay, I hear your motion for reconsideration. At this stage, I'm rejecting it. So what's going to happen on Thursday is he will get this redacted version from the Department of Justice. He could very well say, this looks good to me, and release it. Or he could say, I don't think so. I would propose releasing more. And then what he will probably do would be to turn it over to the government first and say, if you want to appeal my ruling, you can. But he has hinted to the Department of Justice that he thinks that there are at least portions of this affidavit that could be released, and he's giving DOJ the first whack at coming up with something that they could live with.
Give me your thought that he says we are going to, but of course then they can appeal, and he says nobody want to go do this part, and they can appeal that. Are we going to see the affidavit before November?
Oh, I think it's not going to take him long since he's seen the affidavit. It's not going to take him long to
analyze. I know he's seen it, but is the American public going to see it? Is the American public going to see it?
My point is I don't think it would be that. One, he may agree with what it is they present him, in which case he may release it Thursday. But if not, I think that, you know, this would be appealed to a district court judge. I would think that this could be dealt with in a fairly expedited fashion. And if a district court judge and the magistrate judge decide that something should be released, my guess is it would be released before November, but I have no crystal ball, and I suppose the government might try to take an emergency appeal up to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. So, you know, they're going to try to do whatever it is they can to delay releasing any of this affidavit or to try to get it so that none of it is released. But I think there's a decent chance that at least a part of the affidavit will be released before November.
You're listening to John Malcolm at the Heritage Foundation. And, yes, I introduced him as a constitutional expert, not a crystal ball reader. So, but to that point, also, the government prosecutor Jay Bratt, last week was arguing that unsealing the affidavit would provide a roadmap of an ongoing investigation. And he said the country is in a volatile state, and that releasing names of witnesses or FBI agents would chill other witnesses who may still come forward. I thought they were just looking at the paper documents they took out of Trump's house. How does chilling any future witnesses coming forward affect what they've got in their hands?
Well, there may be other shoes to drop, or they may be talking about other sensitive investigations. I mean, anytime the government is trying to keep something from being disclosed, anytime they're trying to keep something from being disclosed, they will say, oh, you know, if you disclose something, it will send a signal that people can't cooperate, or that they cooperate with the FBI, they do so at their peril, that their names will be released. I mean, that's just sort of a standard government tactic. I don't think that Judge Reinhardt is going to take that too much to heart. I think he's going to sit there and say, all right, what will be the impact of releasing that bit of information, or will you be able to identify who this confidential informant was? I don't think he's going to be spending too much time with if you do this, the sky will fall in this investigation and all future investigations. I don't think he'll take that too seriously.
Well, this allegation and belief that, well, maybe it will chill and maybe other people won't come forward. Let me read you a quote from Harvard Law Professor Emeritus Alan Dershowitz from over the weekend. And he said, look, I voted against Trump twice, looking forward to an opportunity to vote against him again. But then he started also later talking about the very fact that I helped present Trump's case in the Senate has cost me dearly. It has, it has cost me relations. I can not invite to speak to synagogues, relations, other things going on. And he's saying that kind of action against me, a Jewish lawyer, not being allowed to speak in synagogues, that sends a chilling effect of the cost of representing Donald Trump at any level for any other attorneys. So there's a chilling that is real.
Oh, absolutely. Look, I am quite sure that Alan Dershowitz is not welcome at cocktail parties in the Hamptons anymore. And I think that there were a lot of lawyers. I mean, there's an entire organization that has dedicated itself to filing ethics complaints to any attorney who is in any way, shape, or form involved with representing him or at the Justice Department in connection with anything in January 6th. I think that there is a clear message being sent that if you represent Donald Trump or anything having to do with election issues, you will be blackballed. That is very real. It happens on college campuses with respect to conservative speakers. It is certainly happening with respect to lawyers who represent unpopular causes, not just Donald Trump, but if you represent, heaven help you, a gun manufacturer, you will be blackballed. And it's very real.
Well, I mean, and when you have lawyers representing a horrendous criminal case, representing because the law says you're presumed innocent and everyone's entitled to full faith and force of the law. I know criminal justices, attorneys have been really not exonerated. That's the wrong word. I apologize. But have been blasted because they represented a particular criminal suspect. I don't know if you've been in that position yourself, but I mean, that's common to that extent.
No, look, that is exactly correct. If you represent a Guantanamo detainee, or a death penalty, or somebody who's on death row, huzzah to you. But if you represent Donald Trump or file an election dispute, you need to be drummed out of the profession. Or if you're Rudy Giuliani or John Eastman, you should be prosecuted. I mean, it's a very dangerous time for an attorney. It used to be if you were an attorney, you were proud to represent people who had done unpopular things. John Adams, our second president of the United States, represented British soldiers, who had been fighting the colonists. It was considered a great thing at the time. But now, if you represent an unpopular cause, they try to drum you out of the profession, and if necessary, handcuff you and throw you behind bars.
That's not good for America.
No, it's not.
And it's not good to even propose such actions against attorneys, giving someone their due course.
Yeah, look, attorneys are there to give advice. They sometimes give good advice. They sometimes give bad advice. But they are there to advise people. And the thought that you are going to take advice and say, we're going to label it somehow a crime, is a very, very dangerous thing, particularly if it is wielded for political purposes.
And, of course, we've seen it in the past in the South, if an attorney was standing up representing a black man accused of raping a white woman. From thence came a movie and a book and then a movie. So we know it exists. It's just that we continue it now at a political level. I want to thank you, John Malcolm, as always, for being with us. We appreciate it. We'll obviously be checking back with you once we see what happens Thursday.
Thanks for having me on, Larry.
You bet. John Malcolm with the Heritage Foundation. Yeah, that's where we are at this point. Coming up, then you've got the elite telling you how to live your life while they live their elite life.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
The other day, some listeners saw me in Cafe Napoli, and one said, we see you here all the time. I said, yes, you do. I am the Cafe Napoli ambassador. Truth is, I've been a Napoli customer for decades, when there was only the Clayton location, then Town and Country, now St. Charles. Trust me, you'll enjoy great food, drinks, service. Cafe Napoli, Clayton, Town and Country, streets of St. Charles. And tell them the Cafe Napoli ambassador sent you.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So we're seeing more and more reports of, let me go back for just a moment to John Hamilton. John Hamilton. He'd appreciate that. John Malcolm's interview regarding the lawyers who stand up, defend someone that everyone hates and the what they take in return. And I was referring to, I mentioned a book and then a movie, of course, that became classical. Of a white man defending a black woman, a black man in the South accused of raping a white woman. You know that book and movie, you should anyway, To Kill a Mockingbird. That's what I was referring to. And it was published in 1960 and quickly became successful and hit high school and middle schools. But the way they're pulling things out of schools now, I'm not sure if it's being kept in some cases. But the fact that to be an attorney, and you say you're going to give every person the best defense you can, and if you fail to do so, then the defendant who loses could, you know, file an appeal and in turn could turn around and sue you with the help of another attorney. Would you be more than glad to help? Goes back to that joke, that old joke, and again, I have a lot of lawyer friends that lawyer falls into a pool of sharks and he doesn't get bitten. He, she doesn't get bitten. Why? It's professional courtesy. They don't bite each other, but sometimes they do. Quick word about monkeypox, because here's what's happening. We now have schools that have been ramping up ever since this started, university schools in particular, but elementary schools now also preparing for possible monkeypox outbreaks. Now, you've heard monkeypox is spread primarily through sex, usually men to men. And the World Health Organization basically put out a statement encouraging men don't have multiple partners, don't go to parties, orgies, basically, where this is going on. And then don't sleep in a bed where another person has slept that you don't know. And to that extent, the other day, a dog came down with monkeypox. Don't know if the dog was licking wounds on one of the two men in the bed or something left on the sheets. Which brings us to, if all this fear is going to ramp up like this, and it will target the gay lesbian community, even if they're like heterosexuals can spread diseases too, of course. You do know that. So you got to be real careful when you start making condemnations, because sexually transmitted diseases can be passed mainly, of course, through sex of different types, but it can also be transmitted to those by shaving contaminated blade, sharing contaminated food, unclean towels, and so forth. So you got to be very careful when you start jumping out and putting all the blame upon the homosexual community. I'm not saying that there's no blame to be placed there, but you have to be careful that you don't end up labeling, because if you're going to, then you're going to turn right around and look at heterosexuals and also spreading various diseases in some fashion of just simply touching something and passing it on to you. The only reason I do that is because I'm already beginning to hear people, you know, that they're using it as a reason to attack a particular culture in the society. It's not my lifestyle. I'm against it. But I have friends that are like that, and I'm just saying that look around you. How many of your heterosexual friends do you know are fully and truly heterosexual? And secondly, free of any disease that you might pick up. So look at how the elites tell you to live their live your life, but not how they live their lives. You want a perfect example? Steven Spielberg has a Gulfstream G850. Is that right? 850? That's a misprint. That's 650. Would be an 850. A G650, burning at least $116,000 worth of jet fuel over 16 trips, covering about 17,000 miles since June 23rd. Since June 23rd, $116,000. Well, of course, he can afford it. No big deal, right? But previously, Spielberg has stated, and I'm quoting, "Global warming terrifies me." And he ripped people. This is where we're going back to the statements about attacking general groups because of one issue. He said he ripped people who go blithely through life without caring about their impact on the environment. In fact, during a 2018 interview for his film Ready Player One, he said, "I'm terrified of global warming. It's a scientific reality. It's not a political trick. It's a true piece of real, measurable, qualifiable science. Everybody has to be held responsible." And what the dickens are you doing flying around in the Gulfstream doing as much as you do for what you need to do? Why don't you take a commercial flight that will probably get you where you need to do? You're emitting more emissions, carbon monoxide emissions, and Leonardo DiCaprio and others. This is the same old, tell you what to do, but I'll do what I want to do. Stand by for hour two.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.